There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Starting to slam into the Northeast. Be careful on those commutes. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How about those people in Florida, in Naples, in Sarasota, in Tampa, on both coasts where they're looking at, what, 80 degrees, 70 degrees? I was just watching the temperatures the other day. I know some of you swear by the Weather Channel, and we're going to have some of the Weather Channel people on for fun because there's little nuances to the weather that would be interesting to impart, I think, to the listeners. But with so much of my family in Florida, they're constantly sending me photographs of their weather app on their iPhones to tell me just how fabulous it is. It's going to be 75 degrees tomorrow for Tampa and Sarasota and Fort Myers. And they said, what's your temperature? And what is the temperature right now in, let's say, we'll just randomly pick one. Let's just say New York City, 30 degrees, which actually can be pretty balmy. Is anything but balmy in the Middle East? Oh, boy, the hornet's nest has been kicked in five different directions. First of all, the king is dead. King Abdullah is dead of Saudi Arabia at 90 years old. Very significant. Because this is a king who befriended the United States and was a voice of reason in an unreasonable, often Arab world. With the king being gone, his brother taking over, there is that opening for more problems to erupt in Saudi Arabia. All you have to do is look at your map of the Middle East and at some of what's already happening, and you say to yourself, boy, Arab Spring, what was the Arab Spring back in 2011? It is non-existent now at this point. And then you have the Yemen president who resigned because of this rebel standoff. It's been a bloody battle that's been waged for a year, so he's decided to bail. And that's bad news because the president was also an ally of the United States, and he had brought full circle Yemen's Arab Spring Revolution, which ousted, remember, the last president amid a lot of popular protests. So here we go again. That country could be really heading toward, and probably is, civil war. And think of it, the poorest, poorest country, the worst possibility. And because of the fact that this becomes even more of a breeding ground for Al-Qaeda, for maybe ISIS, ISIL floatovers in the Arabian Peninsula, which they have certainly jumped on the responsibility bandwagon for the anti-Western attacks, including the one that shocked the world, where 12 people were killed in that assault on Charlie Hebdo in Paris this month. If that's not enough for you, let's throw this one in. I don't know why I was surprised by this, but after John Boehner the other day decided to write a letter, an official letter, to the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and invite him to speak before both chambers of commerce, which isn't protocol. Usually a head of state invites the other head of state. And then the White House didn't have much reaction to that. Now today the White House is saying when Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington, the president will not take any time on the schedule to meet with him. That trip is in March. So there's some diplomatic dust flying around, needless to say. He's not going to meet with them because They say it's a long-standing practice and principle that, listen, if somebody's running for office in another country, we can't have the president close to them because it seems to give off the appearance of trying to influence a democratic election in a foreign country. I don't know, haven't we backed some of those people? I'm just saying, didn't we handpick a few of those people? So the White House, which initially, like I said, they didn't have much reaction. They were kind of stunned because they did feel there was a breach of diplomatic decorum by Boehner, but then by Netanyahu, because of the tension that he has with Obama, to accept the idea of speaking before both chambers of commerce, chambers of Congress. So here we are in this sticky wicket over that, and that's pretty darn big, I would say. I think it's very big. And see, here's the thing. Netanyahu and the Republicans, and some Democrats for sure, believe that Congress should pass legislation threatening Iran with new economic sanctions if the talks break down. If the talks with Iran, the nuclear negotiations with Iran break down, that's what they believe. The president has warned that a sanctions bill would be upended as far as the negotiations go, would ruin them, and says he'll veto any measure that lands on his desk. The really missed point here is that we had Iran over a barrel when Rouhani became president, and they started to feel the squeeze, and he picked up the phone to talk to Washington, and then before you know it, okay, we're easing off the sanctions, it's a brand new day, we're going to work on this, and we promise we're going to do this, and we're going to let you investigate and bring over your inspectors and all that kind of stuff. And none of those deadlines were met, and naturally that's what happens. So Boehner says we can't idly sit by and do nothing while the president cuts a bad deal with Iran. So, wow, this is definitely unprecedented. I haven't seen anything like this since I've been on America Tonight, that's for sure. Netanyahu probably will gain some political points at home from the visit because he's got kind of a tough re-election coming up in Israel. He's running behind the main opposition group that's headed by Yitzhak Herzog's Labor Party, which has really been highlighting a lot of the problems in the country's relationship with the United States. So this probably helps him a little bit. And what was the reaction from a couple of other people? Well, Nancy Pelosi, for example, the House Minority Leader, said it was inappropriate for Boehner to invite Netanyahu to address Congress in the shadow of the election and give the appearance of endorsing the prime minister. But in 1996, the then Israeli Prime Minister Shimon Peres traveled to the U.S. to meet with President Bill Clinton less than a month before Peres faced voters. I didn't think that had happened before because I know that there were other presidents that did stay away from that, but I remember that with Clinton. And Peres faced some criticism for using the trip as a ploy to win votes, especially from, guess who, the opposition leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe he learned from his playbook. You never know. We're squaring the circle next on America Tonight. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Luke Vargas from TRN live from the UN. And Luke, the UN General Assembly held its first ever meeting on global anti-Semitism. And of course, there you're there sniffing around. Any big news from that event?
No, I think the biggest news is that it happened. This was the result of a letter written and co-signed by 37 countries back in October. This was way before the attacks in Paris, including the hostage situation at that Jewish grocery store. This was a General Assembly meeting, the first time the chamber has ever discussed anti-Semitism as its stated topic of discussion for the day. You know, I have to say, I listened to these speeches here. Ron Prosor, who is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, is quite a good speaker to begin with. And so the occasion did occasion, I guess, on his part, was some very good language. He basically said Europe is being tested. He says we need a strong and enduring commitment by European leaders, not just to keep honoring the victims of past anti-Semitism, but to protect the Jews who are still living in Europe. He said, and I'm quoting here now, that the world pledged never again, but here we are again. Violent anti-Semitism is casting a shadow over Europe. Those were comments echoed in some degree by the U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power, who spoke, though she very clearly said this is an issue about more than Europe. She referred the FBI statistics that over two-thirds of cases of violence directed at, you know, religious persons in the United States are directed at Jews. So she was citing statistics that here in the United States we still have some work to do, but overall not terribly newsworthy of an event, I'd say.
Wow, interesting, because as you said, it came up before the attacks, you know, that happened in Paris. So do you think that maybe, though, this is something that, hey, because of the attacks on Paris, and even though it's not newsworthy, but there's this conversation that perhaps it's something that the Assembly, if they feel it's necessary, will have those continuing conversations in the future?
Well, I mean, that gets us to the question of whether these conversations really lead to much. There are so many semantic debates they have on all sorts of issues where I'm not really sure what the rationale is, other than for, you know, a few countries to get some good sound bites from it. But, you know, there are certainly people who would say that the General Assembly, by and large, is quite anti-Semitic in the resolutions that it passes. That, you know, they would, many member states would obviously refute that. But it is another thing to assume that this is a topic that they'd be willing to put on their regular rolling agenda. I don't think that's likely.
The other thing that happened, because obviously you're on the grounds, a meeting on the crisis in the Ukraine, talking about the U.S. calling Russia's action an occupation plan. What was that all about?
Well, so essentially, this is the United States again, Samantha Power, accusing Vladimir Putin of Russia, who last week sent to his Ukrainian counterpart, President Petro Poroshenko, a revised peace plan for him to accept. As I'd say, as your listeners know, but I have to point out, I occasionally lose track of the timeline in this crisis too. There was something called the Minsk Agreement, agreed to back in September. It was sort of intended to be the peace plan for eastern Ukraine. It's been violated from top to bottom, pretty much on a daily basis. But the criticism here from the United States is that what Putin suggested last week was, in a way, an attempt to modify the terms of that agreement to basically strip away requirements that their control of the Ukrainian territory be reversed, that they retreat back to the border. Now he's saying, hey, let's just leave forces where they are. They can't fight anymore. We'll take out some of the big artillery guns, but we want to sort of keep our territorial control up to where it is right now. That's the language that the United States was very frustrated about. The Ukrainians have turned down that proposal from Vladimir Putin for understandable reasons. You know, we'll see where this goes next, but fighting is certainly on the increase there. So it does seem like there's a need for something to happen at this point.
You know, speaking of Russia, it's really wild. The talks between the U.S. and Cuba are ongoing or just continuing in Havana, and I'm going to ask you about that, but apparently there was an old Russian spy ship that wasn't too far away from where those, that came into the harbor, that wasn't too far away from where those talks are being held. What do you make of that?
I've heard about that. I've seen those reports. You know, it sort of makes me think of that. I think it was the G20 meeting that happened back in Australia over the past few months. And you had a similar instance where Russian warships were mobilized. They were parked off the coast of Australia. I'm not sure. You know, it's sort of an exercise of soft power, if you will. I don't think there's any talk about military operations or anything of that sort. But it does, I would say, raise a lot of red flags. But why exactly that was necessary at this time?
Yeah, crazy. So the actual talks themselves, what do we know after one day?
Well, they seem to be going quite well. What we do know at this point are some of the issues that have already been breached. You have a few pretty interesting ones that show that this dialogue is relatively advanced at this stage. It looks like what the U.S. Primary demand is that we're looking to see if Cuba will pick up. And it's something I've been watching for quite some time, which is internet access in Cuba. I have been trying to figure out a time to get down there and do some reporting. But a major issue is that there are really only about 3 or 4 hotels that have internet at all. When they have it, it's very poor. You'll remember USAID was caught up in a scandal last year where they had been found to be basically paying for a secretive project that would help Cubans use their mobile phones to spread pro-democracy messages. It's been an issue at the very heart of American policy via Cuba, which is that they've got to expand internet access. So that's a demand we're apparently sticking to. On the Cuban end, they have a bunch of supposed demands, which it looks like it's going to be hard to, you know, reach agreement on. One is this U.S. policy, which has been in place for quite some time, called the wet feet, dry feet policy. Essentially, that, you know, if a Cuban makes it to the United States, they step foot on American soil, they are then entitled to be, you know, for citizenship. This is something that the government of Havana has been very upset with for quite some time. They say it increases the dry U.S. list of countries that are state sponsors of terrorism. That looks like an issue where there might be some agreement. But again, this issue of migration, going back to that wet feet, dry feet policy, is a huge issue for them. I'm not sure the U.S. is going to cave on that. They've given indications that they're not willing to. That might be a sticking point. But again, there looks to be progress on many more things. The establishment of commercial flights between the U.S. and Cuba. Banking agreements that would allow Americans to use their debit and credit cards in Cuba. Those things, I think, are going to be agreed upon. But the issue of more major structural reforms, both in U.S. migration policy and say, Cuba's policy towards the Internet and free speech, seem like much bigger issues that I don't think will get worked out over the next few days.
Yeah, I got to fix that Internet problem. There's no question about that. The moving from Cuba and those ongoing talks to the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists deciding to move the hands of its doomsday clock. I was shocked when you sent me a note on this. How many hours is it now to midnight?
It's minutes to midnight. It'd be great if we were hours. I guess that means we'd be in the clear. Your listeners will know this was created in the late 1940s, I believe in 1947, and it was basically a way of helping the public understand how close scientists thought we were to some sort of doomsday event at that time. It was very clearly the threat of nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation. It was started at 11:53 back in the 40s. It inched all the way. The closest it ever got to midnight, or that doomsday scenario, was 1953, when it went to 11:58, 2 minutes to midnight. Then it backed off after the Cold War. I think we got to 17 minutes to midnight, which seems so abstract, and I'm not really sure the calculation that underlied 17 minutes to midnight. But we've been steadily moving back towards midnight ever since then. And climate change was added as a determining factor back in 2007. That is one of the major reasons that the Bulletin has decided to move up the clock by 2 minutes. Get this, we're now only 3 minutes to midnight. We had been, 5 minutes out for since 2012, but the combination, of the, you know, renewed risk of incidents like Ebola to plague many people around the world, and also this realization that climate change may not be being taken seriously enough by world leaders that prompted them to make this change. So 11:57 is the new time, 3 minutes to midnight.
I love that. I love that. That's wild. All right, Luke Vargas, always, always interesting nuggets from you, from Talk Radio News in the UN. Thanks so much for coming on.
You bet. Take care.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Here they come again, catch us if you can, time to get a move on, we will yell with all of our might, catch us if you can, 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 now we gotta run, what type of fun, when we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might, catch us if you can, catch us if you can, catch us if you can.
Very familiar to all of you who listen to America Tonight, our pal Ivan Elin, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, once again has some interesting things to say, and you can catch it on Huffington Post, talking about the latest unjustifiable episode of government collection of phone records, which I know the antenna is going up around the nation of so many people who listen to America Tonight who just heard that, because I can't tell you the amount of phone calls we get over what the government can and cannot do and how ridiculous it is when our phone records are so exposed. Ivan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back on.
So talk about that. So what did we miss? And you call it, I'm just going to head you off here, you call it probability neglect, because all of the things that were happening, especially with the horrible Paris terrorist attacks, something else happened here in the U.S. that none of us really followed or picked up. And I have to say, I've been all over the story and I didn't pick it up either.
Well, it was on the back pages of the paper because, of course, it was, drowned out by all the terrorist coverage. But this is a database that the DEA had. They claim they have shut it down now, but the DEA had a phone records base, much like NSA, and they were using it for drug cases. And in fact, other agents, other law enforcement agencies could use it, this, bulk data collected from the phone companies for phone records. And even if they weren't tracking a criminal, they didn't delete the data. So basically what this is that, you know, the government claims it needs to do this for national security reasons. And, of course, it's unconstitutional even for national security reasons because there is no national security exemption from the Fourth Amendment of unreasonable searches and seizures. But, of course, this is a domestic, purely domestic law enforcement agency, DEA. And, of course, they're doing drug crimes, which there's a lot of debate about whether, you know, certain drugs or even all drugs should be legal or illegal since you're putting it into your own body. But that aside, I mean, they're clearly not doing it to save lives in terrorist attacks or using it for ordinary criminal investigations. And that's what commonly happens is we get law enforcement agencies getting something for national security, and then they expand it into other criminal investigations.
Yeah, and it's crazy too. And you, as you talked about it being buried on the back pages of the newspaper, we go to that issue that you and I have talked about a lot about constitutionality, what is, what isn't, that kind of thing. And you wonder if, you know, when we look at the bulk collection and we look at now what's happening and we look at the violations of the Constitution or not and warrants, etc. You know, you'd have to think. I guess they just have to be much more specific, and you and I have said this too, and you talk about it in your piece, on probable cause, right? And certainly showing that a crime has been committed.
Well, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution says that you have to, that the government has to list specifically what it's searching for and where it's specifically what it's searching, you know, the location or the, you know, means your phone calls or whatever, and they must have a probable cause that a crime has been committed. Well, both of those things are absent from here because the founders didn't like general warrants. That's why the specificity requirement is there, and they didn't like general warrants because the British troops used those to go on fishing expeditions to find stuff that people did wrong. You know, to keep order in the colonies. And the second reason that they put the second thing, the probable cause requirement, is so that they can't use a lesser standard. Well, they're using a lesser standard. The DEA and also the NSA can go into their database. First of all, it is a general warrant because they're collecting phone records from everybody. Everybody can't be a potential criminal. And so there's no probable cause that they have, and when they access this to collect the data in the first place, but then when they access it, they use a standard that's less than probable cause. They use reasonable and actionable suspicion by a law enforcement agent, and that's not a court passing on it. That's just bureaucrat saying, yeah, I think it's, you know, we're suspicious that something's going on here. So it doesn't meet a constitutional standard in many respects, and you know, I think it just—you don't have to be a lawyer. This gets a little bit involved in lawyerly things. I'm not a lawyer, but I am familiar with these provisions. But the average citizen should say it's common sense that not everybody can be a criminal, and so why do they have these phone records? And they say, well, you know, this is not really a search and seizure. Well, it certainly is because they're collecting your data and having it sitting there. And they may not monitor your content unless they have reasonable suspicion, but they can gain a lot. It's very disingenuous for these agencies to say that they're not looking at the content unless there's a suspicion of a crime. But the problem is nowadays they can get a lot more by traffic analysis. That is, all they have to do is know what number called what number, how long they talk, and they can make a web of contacts. And, of course, that's very valuable to them. That's sometimes even more valuable than the content of the actual calls.
Yeah. And you mentioned it that Senator Leahy did point it out. I mean, he did, after he found out about the DEA program, he did jump all over this with the attorney general, or at least wrote to him anyway, saying that this was crazy and this was, what did he call it, as you quoted him, suspicionless intrusion into Americans' privacy without judicial warrants and indiscriminately collecting an enormous amount of information about many Americans for use in routine criminal investigations rather than national security efforts. And I guess we come back around to that, as I was saying at the top, because we think initially, oh, the first time around was Snowden and what happened and the revelations, national security, this was national security, it was metadata and we're doing this and we're doing that. But people are getting smarter and they're starting to realize, no, there's much more going on here, right?
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely miraculous that Leahy's objection had some effect. Apparently, they discontinued the program and destroyed the data. But, of course, that doesn't mean they can't use this precedent in the future of the NSA to expand their searching of phone records and that sort of thing. And let's go back to the NSA one for a second. You know, all branches of government agree that the NSA should be doing that. But guess what? All branches of government are doing something that's unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment has no exemption for national security, and you still need to get a warrant based on the probable cause that a crime has been committed. In fact, the Constitution is set up to guard against intrusion of civil liberties when there's a crisis, when there's a national security crisis, et cetera. That's why there is no national security exemption for stuff like the Fourth Amendment or a jury trial or anything else, because it's in times of crisis that you really need these protections. And, of course, they're saying, well, these phone records, the NSA needs to do this for, to protect us against terrorists. But, in fact, the security agencies can do just fine by getting a warrant. And there's provisions in there where if they really don't have time to get a warrant, they can do it retroactively. So the law that George Bush originally broke was not really constraining the government at all in this matter. And so Bush just really wanted to flout the law, I think, to show that he could expand executive power in time of emergency. And, of course, that's what the Constitution is supposed to prevent.
Yeah, and as you said, too, I mean, okay, that's great. It's supposedly this is it. The program's disbanded, whatever. It's suspended.
The DEA program is disbanded, but the NSA program is going full bore with all three branches of government supporting it, but it's still unconstitutional.
Yeah, I agree. And now we saw what happened, sadly, in Paris. And do you think that sort of ignites that as, okay, hey, because people are worried and about violence, and so we can always put this in our back pocket? I mean, thinking of, all right, we're going to be facing more challenges here? Because I think there's definitely legal precedents to go after, frankly, the government on some of this.
Yeah. I think, the problem that we have is any terrorist attack that comes up anywhere and gets a lot of publicity, Americans think, well, boy, I bet that could happen here, especially in a country like France, which seems more like us than, say, Nigeria, right? We think of Nigeria as a developing country. France is a developed country, and they have Muslims. We have Muslims here. Of course, the two situations are much different, and I think it scares people. We have a lot less terrorism than Europe because we're a lot farther away. We don't have the Muslim populations that are not integrated. The Muslim populations and other minorities are much better integrated here. And also, the Muslims aren't radicalized here like they are. Some of them are in Europe. Not all of Muslims are radicalized in Europe, but some of them are. And so it's a different situation. And I think, our security agencies pounce on this to get more money, funds, and authority. And I think we have to be very careful about this because a lot of these situations overseas don't apply to us since we're so far away from the world conflict zone.
Yeah. Ivan Elin, Senior Fellow and Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, as always, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Johnny, angry Johnny, just a run. I wanna kill you, I wanna blow you away. I wanna kill you. I wanna blow you.
And like a roller derby, we go round and round and round, and we come to the final stop here for this hour. Ending on one of my favorite things. I love the mailbag. I say this all the time because you overwhelm me with your comments and some of your scintillating opinions, frankly. And just I think this audience thirsts for nuggets of information. I think that's what it is. Your information bugs. And you end up sending me some pretty cool stuff along the way, too. You can always do that. Trust me. I get a lot of email from Sarasota. I get a lot of email from all over Florida, California, Texas, New Hampshire. We have our great new affiliate, New Hampshire, and a whole bunch of other places that, you know, you really surprised me anyway. I think it's terrific. So once again, I am overwhelmed by the amount of email. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Make him do that again.
You have mail, mistress.
Nice. Okay, so I do have mail. Let's hit it. This one from Joseph, who says, Kate, King Abdullah being down is a huge deal, and that chaos in Yemen is something to absolutely be concerned with. You call it the quicksand. I say that it's even more like cement now more than ever. And hey, listen, I have a lot of friends that live in Israel and live in some other parts of the Middle East. And think about traveling to see the Holy Lands. Who wouldn't want to do that? Let's hope they don't get destroyed by this fearless band of thugs calling themselves ISIS or ISIL or Al-Qaeda is their banner or whatever it is at the moment. I think it is pretty frightening times for the people who live there. And the way the world works, you wonder where it's going to turn next. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I'll tell you, Iran is the other thing. You have to be concerned about Iran, what's going to happen there. And certainly Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, clearly, you know the relationship between Israel and Iran as it should be, since Iran basically is saying that the Holocaust never existed and all this other stuff. And you look at the resignation of the president in Yemen. And I think that took a lot of people by surprise that happened. And it just makes the risk there that much bigger, because that's the Arab world's poorest country. And it's even more of a breeding ground for Al-Qaeda now in the Arabian Peninsula, which has claimed massive responsibility, I'll say responsibility, for anti-Western attacks, including the assault on Charlie Hebdo in Paris. So you got the resignation of President Abdu Rabu Mansour Hadi, which brings full circle the Arab Spring Revolution, which then booted out the former president in 2011, and you have massive popular protests. So I'll tell you, this is the death knell, really, for whatever the accomplishments were in 2011 for that whole Arab Spring thing, because forget Arab Spring. Who's talking about Arab Spring now? I mean, we're talking about uncharted waters, baby. We really are. I'll tell you what, the United Nations ought to be all over this. I mean, the prospect of what could happen there in the upcoming days is really, truly unprecedented. And it might not be being talked about enough, but when you have a big ally who died in Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah, how many times did I bring his name up on this show? When you have an ally, also the president of Yemen, you have the president resigning. And then here we are with Benjamin Netanyahu and the powder keg that has ignited, even in the United States, right? Because you've got the Speaker of the House inviting Netanyahu to come and speak to both chambers, but not through the normal protocols, blah, blah, blah. And then the President of the United States saying, oh, it's too close to an election, so this is normal protocol. We wouldn't be seen together, so there's going to be no conversation there. Man, I'm telling you, wheels off. All right, I went down a rabbit trail, but I agree. I think it's scary times. Concrete, you're right. From quicksand to concrete. Let's hope something changes there. How about this one from AJ? Hats off, Ms. Delaney. Boy, you've had some incredible guests lately, I have to say. You had a couple of congressmen on the other night. What I loved is one was Republican light, one was Republican hardcore, but both backed up why they were saying what they were saying and piggybacked it off of the State of the Union. And I'm a Democrat. You've had Democrats on the show. I know you've had Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the show before. So I think it's pretty exciting, the guest lineup that you bring to America tonight. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. And I think also when we had Jim DeFelice on, the writer of American Sniper, and he was excellent. He was on just a couple of days ago too. So there you go. Thank you for that though. Jay says, Kate, I wish that every single day we didn't have to hear about somebody being held hostage by ISIS, and they appear in a orange jumper, and they have some kid next to them ready to cut their head off. This thing with the Japanese guys, and of course we lost a couple of Americans and the Brits. It's just so sad and frustrating, and I'm not even using the right words to describe how I feel about this. These varmints have to be flushed out. They have to be defeated, whatever it takes. I think this enemy is scarier than some of the enemies in the past, because at least you knew what you were staring down, whereas we really don't know that now, because you really aren't sure where the whack-a-mole is going to pop up and who's going to claim responsibility. Let's put it that way. Yeah, let's put it that way. You don't know who's going to claim responsibility. Boko Haram, ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda, some other new threat, the old threat, Hamas, etc. Okay, this one, I said that it's funny how people perceive me sometimes. I guess maybe they just catch tail ends of things, and that's cool, because it's nice you say wonderful things and say other opinions. It's cool. But I got this one from Tim, who says, wow, when I listen to you, I just think Yankee liberal, and I think you are way out of base when you talk about some of these entitlement programs on your show. I don't understand what world you're living in, but it's certainly not the one I'm living in. Well, I think you're confusing me with someone else on the station that you're listening to, because I can't think of what entitlement programs I endorse and said, yeah, we got to pump more money into that. In fact, I went through this whole thing about affordable health care, how I said I looked at all sides of it, and then went in and was given this crazy a la carte menu and told how people were so confused and whatnot. So I think that's just a confusion as to who you were listening to on the air. I could be wrong. I could go through all my tapes, but I'm thinking I'm not wrong on that one. Okay, and then I got this one from Norma, who said, heard a portion of last night's show. Do you always pander to Republican guests? No questions, no challenges. Well, I must have asked questions, but no challenges. I'm not sure what that means. Not disagreeing with what they were saying. Agonizing pain of Obamacare, perhaps not for those who have never had preventative health care. Taxes, taxes, taxes. But who are paying the smallest percentage of their income? There is no balance in talk radio. All paid to promote the Republican agenda. I don't think so. I think there's lots of people like me that say, let's look at all sides of it. You might not always like the side I pick, but I always invite opinions, and I always look at all sides of things. Trust, I'm like a Rubik's Cube. You throw it up in the air, right? Thanks for writing, all of you out there. I invite you, AmericaTonight.net, and thanks for listening.
A Big Berkey water filter.
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.